A very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. This is the Diaspora Forum, and I'm Keith Stuve. Tonight we are talking about street vendors' daily struggles in Zimbabwe and beyond. We will also briefly look at Valentine's Day. But before we discuss these and related issues, let's take a brief look at what is happening elsewhere. The World Health Organization says that in Zambia, 70% of men and over 30% of women are drinking too much too often. Some non-profit organizations are intervening to help those on the path to recovery from alcohol addiction. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka, Zambia.
49-year-old businessman Bellington Shanzi started drinking beer casually as a teenager, but he says he quickly became addicted to alcohol.
My family and relationships were broken because it would lead to, you know, little time with I'm a married man. Little time with family, little time with even, your own siblings and everything. You shun everything. Your budget is distorted. In the end, your life just becomes, you know, centered on alcohol. You become selfish.
Bellington has just completed a three-month alcohol recovery program at Serenity Wellness Center, which focuses on providing medicine and therapeutic solutions. The program costs $245 per month over a three-month period. This price tag is beyond the reach of most Zambians, where the average salary is between $300 and $350 per month. The fees cater for logistics like food, medicines, and administrative costs for alcohol recovery participants during the program. For those who cannot afford it or are also grappling with mental health issues, the center offers some free services. Kapambwech Kontwe is Serenity's founder and executive director. He says part of the problem is that alcohol is cheap and easy to get in Zambia.
Almost every shopping mall has alcohol, almost in every shop. So people have this opportunity, they are able to buy at any point, at every small instance, every corner in Zambia as a spot where alcohol is being sold.
Chikonte says that an average of 7 people turn up for help at Serenity every day, and he says his center is helping about 60% of the people that go through the program, while 40% relapse. 38-year-old Musonda Kahenya also says he has completed his alcohol recovery program. He has been sober for a few months now.
Because of the heavy drinking, I started missing days from work, losing jobs. Then later on, started having a lot of bills in bars. I overdrink what I can afford. So it became quite a burden, especially on my family members.
In 2018, the country enacted a national alcohol policy that sets opening hours for bars and restricts sales in markets and shopping malls. It prohibits consumption by people under the age of 18. But Chikonte says that policy isn't being enforced and points to media reports indicating that 42% of alcohol consumers are between the ages of 13 and 15. Chikonte says his organization is working closely with the government to urgently fine-tune the national alcohol policy.
So like in other policies, we need to sensitize the population based on the existence of this policy, but as well as on the content.
Zambia's Health Minister Sylvia Masebo told VOA that they recognize the problem and says the government will prosecute those ignoring the national alcohol policy. But activists say that's not enough and are calling for tougher measures, like fast-tracking the prosecution of offenders to send a clear message. Kathy Short, VOA News, Lusaka, Zambia.
Thanks for that, Kate. The late former MDC leader Mokgweng Tsvangirai died on this day in 2018. He fought against black oppression and was once attacked by suspected state security agents for joining a public protest. He also became Prime Minister of Zimbabwe following an impasse over the outcome of the 2008 elections. Here's what Tsvangirai always promised to Zimbabweans.
I recognize the honor you have bestowed on me. I know the depth of your feelings, and I know the nation's expectations. I promise to deliver a service in your name. I promise to lead from the front, and I promise to use all available resources and the willpower of the people to speak of this tyranny of Zimbabwe.
That was Mokin Tsvangirai addressing a public rally in Harare. His widow, Elizabeth Tsvangirai, said in a statement today that she dearly misses her husband and knows very well that millions of Zimbabweans are missing him. She wishes to help in with him on Valentine's Day today. Let's take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have joined us today, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. You can also find us on our websites, www.voandebele.com, www.voashona.com, and www.voazimbabwe.com. Send us your messages right now so that we can call you back. And we've got our guest tonight on this discussion over issues to do with vendors. And we're joined right now by vendors leader, Miss Lorraine Ndlovu. She is right now in Morocco. We also have Miss Mildred Nkomazana, who is actually based in Dubai. That is the United Arab Emirates. Welcome to the program, both. Hello, Ms. Ndlovu. Hello.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Hello. So much. Hello. Thank you so much. Yeah. So let's start with Ms. Ndlovu. So you are in Morocco. Tell us, what are you doing there?
I am in Morocco, and we are at a meeting, which is more of a workshop for monitoring, learning, and evaluation with organizations that work with informal economy workers, who include street vendors, waste pickers, domestic workers, and home-based workers. At this workshop, we are mainly focusing on outcome harvesting, and we would like to measure ourselves as organizations and workers in the informal economy to see if we are really making headway in all our intended objectives.
And you are a leader of two organizations, Ms. Ndlovu. And, you know, I guess you are doing a lot in terms of what is happening in terms of street vending. So there are challenges that are faced by vendors globally. And then when we crystallize it to Africa, we know that there's a lot that is happening in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, and other nations. So what are these serious challenges that you are facing?
Yes, you are right, Dube. I lead two organizations, the Zimbabwe Chamber of Informal Economy Associations at national level, and at global level with StreetNet International. And in our work, there are a lot of challenges within Zimbabwe as well as other countries worldwide. And these challenges mainly have to do with harassment and violence against vendors in their world of work, And when we talk about harassment and violence, it is not like we decided just to come up with that term. At International Labour Organizational level, there are discussions which happen every year, and our states do attend, participate, deliberate, and adopt international labor standards, some of which protect workers in the informal economy. This year, we celebrate 5 years of the adoption of an International Labor Organization convention on the elimination of violence and harassment in the world of work. And this also includes protections for workers in the informal economy, most of whom, as StreetNet International, are vendors.
So do you have examples of, let's say, brutality or any of these things that are being perpetrated by governments? And is there any way that you as a vending group are doing something to engage them, and they are also trying to engage you?
Yes, there are many forms of brutality that we have, ranging from harassment in the different areas where vendors work in the streets where they work in. Vendors are considered a public nuisance, and usually, if there is a pandemic, the main cause is often described as the street vendors who are working in the streets. Rarely do governments take an inward look. For instance, to say, if we have a problem with cholera, definitely cholera has got a lot to do with the dysfunctional water reticulation systems. But nobody talks about that. The next move is to remove vendors from their workplaces, demolish their workstations, which is happening right now, not only in Zimbabwe, but in Zambia as well.
So how serious is this issue, and what have you done really to engage them? Because it seems you can do that.
The issue is very serious because this means there is a loss of livelihood. For so many people, informal economy workers are the majority, in Africa mostly. In Zimbabwe, they are a vast majority. And street vendors do the street vending, not out of choice, but as a way of getting livelihoods. And when they are being removed from their workplaces, their goods confiscated, this means that there is a loss of livelihood. And the way we have actually engaged, we have tried our level best to engage with local authorities and engage also with government, meaning that we have engaged with members of parliament at their level in parliament, as well as with the different parliamentary committees. We thought we were making progress in Zimbabwe, but always, whenever we think there is progress, we always take 2 steps backwards, not because we are in control, but we wake up to a surprise where people are being removed from their workplaces, demolitions are taking place, confiscations are taking place. So we really would like to see a sustainable solution to the problem. Because in the first place, there should be a way of protecting, regulating, and helping street vendors to work sustainably, rather than destroying livelihoods and beautifying cities at the expense of livelihoods. Beautification of cities should be inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Just hold on there for some few seconds, or for some few minutes. Let's turn to Ms. Mildred Nkomazana. Hey, Ms. Nkomazana, we're happy to have you today. Kunjani, kuna ngapi Dubai?
Ay, lapha siyaphila babuduke ngiyezwa lina.
Ye, akusitshele lapha sizokuthiwa ke uyathenga uthengisa impahla, ujikajika, udobhe lokhu, udobhe lokhuyana, kuthola ivili lemota lapho, uthola izikipa lokunye. Kuhlupha kangani khonokho?
Qinisweni angeke ngize ngisho ukuthi uyahlupha. Ekuhlupheni lapho ngasupha okuhlupha khona ukuthi abantu abakakholelwa ikakhulu abantu bakithi ekhaya abakakholelwa ukuthi singakwazi ukuthi siwenze lokho. Ba ubathola belalwana umqondo umuzwa wokuthi bayantshontshelwa bazontshontshelwa ngizontshontshelwa ngizontshontshelwa. Leso sikhathi engakaze azasebenze lawe angakaze aze azame ukuthi mhlawumbe akakhulumisane nawe abekwazi ukuthi lezi zinto zikhutshwa kanjani. Abanye uthola ukuthi banalo khani ukwethu ukuthi hayibo use-United Arab Emirates impahla zifika kanjani eZimbabwe, impahla zifika njani endaweni eyithi. Sokumele ukuthi uqale uchaze, noma usuchazile kuba nzima bakuduke, kube nzima kimi khona ngoba ngisebenza kakhulu kuma social media lapha engathi yikho lapha engikhona kakhulu. Uthola ukuthi ngezinye izikhathi uyaripotwa. Ngiyakhumbula ukuthi ngike ngaphosela izinto engizithengisayo ngayithola ukuthi sengiripotiwe kaFacebook ukuthi nangu umuntu ezositshontshela ufuna ukuzositshontshela imali. Kathi lutho akuwona umqondo wami, akuyona injongo yami yokuthi ngenze izinto ezinjalo. Injongo yami yokuthi ngingumuntu wesifazane ophuma enkayi ngikwenze lami kwenzeke njengalokho okwenziwa ngabanye abantwana phandle. Baningi siyababona bayathengisa, bayabakhukhula, sebeze benamagama bayaziwa ukuthi usibanizele le nto uyayenza. Lami ngiphume enkayi ngiyafisa ukuthi nami ngiyenze yenzeke. Kungaphela ukuthi enkayi kwaziwa ngokuthi umnyama bambili. Lami ngifuna ukuthi ngithi umnyama uphandile angiwazi ukuthi ungakuphi kwakhona. Ngizame lami ukuthi ngifake indawo yakithi ebalazweni. Ngenze okuhle ngikhumbula ukuthi ngumntwana wakuphi ngoba ngiyathanda ukuthi sasa ebe khona ozovuka ehlangana lo muntu ophuma enkayi acabange nina ngokube ngibenzile. Kodwa kunalokho ngifuna ukwenza okuhle, ngibabonise abantu ekhaya ukuthi ibusiness ikhona indawo zonke nabakhona khona lapho ukuthi bebone ukuthi nangaphandle kokusebenza esisebenzayo ngoba siyasebenza lapho akukhona ukuthi imali esiyitholayo ikhona inengi. Ayikho ningi, ayikho. Kodwa wona lawa amasenta nesiwenzayo engiwenzayo eceleni ma ngithengisa akufani. Ngazile ukuthi nami ngikwazi ukuthi ngenze u-1 no-2 no-3 ebengiyeke ngize ngikwazi ukuthi ngikwenze makade ngihleli. So futhi sikhuthazane, singikhuthazane ukuthi asingahlaleli ukuthi sizosebenza. Khona lokho esikwenzayo ekuthengiseni khona lapha kubalulekile. Ngibuye ngibatshele futhi ukuthi bengesabi ukuthi umuntu uzozibuza ukuthi khona le United Arab izinto zisuka le zizofika kanjani eZimbabwe. Ma zikwazi ukusuka eChina zizoqeda inyanga ezintathu kodwa ekugcineni zizofika. Lapha zizohlulwa yikuyini ngoba ma impahla zihamba kaningi mina kula ma-courier companies engisebenzisana lawo khona ethatha insuku ezintathu kusiya kweziyisikhombisa impahla zakho yabusuzitholile. Baningi bayazi ukuthi vele into engiyikhulumayo ngikhuluma into eyenzakala.
Ye, kodwa bajwayele ukuthi ngizonelwa mvunye. So bamba khonapho sike sizwe ke kulo umama lapho ufona iseBotswana ungayikhathiyana Nkomazana. Botswana kunjani kulo ngapho?
Hayi, ngiyaphila ngapha linjani lena?
Ngisaphila kakhulu, sikhuluma lobani?
Ngikhuluma noSimangaliso Dube.
Simangaliso, kunjani Madube?
Hayi, ngiyaphila baba, linjani le?
Ye, kuphila kanjani kunapha eBotswana ngokuthengisa impahla?
Hayi, eBotswana kungcono khona kakufani.
Kodwa liyavunyelwa yini kumbe vele alivunyelwa ukwenza kwalokho?
Ukuthenga uthengisa? Hayi, bona kabahluphi kangako bona. Ezilongo bengazange bakubambe nje emgwaqweni because ama-roadblock abakhona semgwaqweni ngakho befuna i-passport but akusafani.
Oye, kodwa bangakubamba bathini? Bangakunika icence kumbe kuzenzela nje ukuthi uyathengisa nje ukuhlupheka?
Nxa uyabe ungala passport bangakubamba uyadiphotha ubuyele ekhaya.
Nxa ule passport?
Hayi, xa le passport abakuyekela.
Oh, kodwa akumelanga ube nelayisensi ukuthi uyathengisa uthwele ilayisensi khona?
A angeke bakunike ilayisensi nje angiboni ukuthi kuyinto elula ukuthi uzithole ngoba kwakuqala kwamele ibe ne-permit.
Ye, kunjani kodwa ukusebenza emgwaqweni la?
Ah, kuba nobunzima ngoba khathesi even labatwana sebethathele ukuthi amazimbabwens ayenze imali ngokuthengisa njalo, so it's like sekule competition.
Wena uthengisani mntakama? Uthengisani kona?
Ngiyathengisa izigqoko. But usually mina ngenza kakhulu yokuzalisa imali.
Aha, izimbazo. Kuthiwa isimbazo, kuthiwa kuyini kona?
Isimbazo.
Yo, akuzima kubophisi kona?
Hayi, akubophisi. Bona abakufunayo bona ukuthi mina i-challenge engihlangane layo kakhulu ngabantu basekhaya bangathatha unzima ukuthi babhadale, but ungahamba uye-reporta bakusiza sibili lapha cause bakutshela ukuthi hamba kuma-small claims court. Yi-procedure abasitshela yona ukuthi senze njalo, or khathesi bathi kumele umuntu umsayinise phansi ube le-agreement, so kuba lula ke ubekwazi i-address ahlala khona. So uma engasabhadali bathumela isamanisi khona ngale.
Okay, mina ngakweleta i-200 khathesi, 200 pula. Sengiyibhadala kuyimali.
Ngathatha i-200 pula? Isisathi i-260.
Ah, uyahlaba eh?
Anti 30%.
Aha, siyabonga simanga. Khuluma labantu batshele bakuthola ngaphi?
Ma?
Mukhuluma labantu batshele bakuthola njani? Njalo ngaphi?
Mina ngise eButswana eGaborone. Eku plus 26775-9873.
Yes, siyabonga kakhulu ke Madube khona ngapho ke kwele Botswana. Ungathengela kusasa Ntombendala. Siyabonga kakhulu. Yeah, back to you, Mrs. Ndlovu. So, you know, normally we've got this other issue in which goods being sold by vendors are confiscated by the local authorities and so forth. Where do they take those things to? Have you ever found out?
Because there is no clear articulation of where those goods are taken. Neither is there any accountability system that one can follow. So I believe that in the first place, if there is a crime which has been committed, it is by a human being, the goods know no crime. So there is no justification in confiscating one's goods. What should happen is that if a street vendor has committed a crime, they should be booked for the crime. It should be well explained. And if there is a fine to be paid, a fine should be paid. There is utterly no justification for confiscation of goods, other than that it seems like just plain cruelty.
No, I hear you. So hold on there. We are going to, in the last segment, we've got roughly about 6 minutes, and we are going to focus on certain things like, you know, your own life, but I know to you is a difficult moment, especially when it comes to February the 14th. We know that you lost your husband. So, but what does Valentine mean to you? And what would you have hoped for if Bekezelo Matumo was still alive?
I would have hoped for the usual celebration. Although we were not big on that celebration, we would just spend time together, and maybe I would have received chocolates and flowers like any other woman. But also Valentine speaks to the, it was the birthday of my late brother, so it has got that double edge.
And so today?
Today I'm celebrating Valentine working for street vendors, because even as we are gathering here, we are discussing further strategies on how to deal with the persistent problem of having street vendors being treated like trash rather than workers.
And send my love to everybody, all the vendors out there.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you so much, and all turn. Ms. Komazana, I Valentine Lamchange, the Wenzele no Munyako.
Ngiyaxolisa bakuthi ke hayi akulalutho ngoba angilayo umunye wami so hayi angeke ngize ngisho lutho nje olutheni
wo uyasikashika nje uwedwa ubona kunjalo nje kurandi konke so uyakhumbula isidumo ukuthi wayesithini wayesithi is good is nice nxa kunjalo right siyabonga kakhulu so ke njengazani sokuthiwa kulo munye ukhola okhona ecingweni lingamletha ikhola producer, you can bring that caller if the caller is in so that we can discuss this issue concerning Valentine. So okay, so ke nxa sikhuluma ke ngakhonoku ke ukuthi ama-Valentine ulibona ngathi nxa umuntu onjengawe kubuye usuku olunje mankomazana uyawusizwani vela kulaludi phonge ukuthi ha ngikulilanga lokhu akudlule ufuna ukuthengisa into zami. Indaba ongathengisa amaflawuzi, uthengisa amahatsi khona kuyana into zibovuvovu lezi amaperfume abomvu lento ezinjani kuke wakuninga ibhizinisi.
Ngizothi lezi zinto ngezinye izikhathi zithola uthola ukuthi siyabe singazanga sazihlelela kahle phambilini. Ngizothi lo nyaka siye saphazamiseka umnyaka odlule ma sifaka impahla kukhonteni entanovemba ngezathatha isikhathi ukuthi zifike so ma zibuya sezibuya nge-last minute sokukhangelelwe u-14 sengizama ukuthi ngihlukanise impahla zabantu ngibona ukuthi wonke umuntu unjani wonke umuntu itholile izinto zakhe ngizama ukukliya futhi ngithi ngithi ngiqeda lapho sokungu-14 so vele kwahle kwabani
kubona vele ukuthi akusabambeki lapha lapha
abanye babelethenga abanye bebuya bebuza ukuthi singakuthola kuphi ababe befuna ukuthumelela ekhaya ngibese ngiyabalayela lapho engiyabe ngisakhona o ngibatshele nje ngilokwenza ama-live mayekuthi kukhona lapho engithola khona izinto ezithengisekayo ma kusemashop ngibabonise ukuthi hhayi ma bekhona babe befuna ukusiza ngibasize nje kanjalo njengoba nje le-Valentine bengibasiza abanithi ngibatshela ukuthi qonda nini laphaya
ngabonaawubonge siyabonga kakhulu mama siyabonga kakhulu ngadina kusasa. So lastly Miss Ndlovu, we know that you are a leader of vendors and all these other organizations, but then the last question is, if you were to change the life of a vendor, what would you do today?
What I would do today is to first give them the respect due. If I were a president of a country with all the power, on Valentine's Day, I would issue a State of the Nation address to recognize and respect street vendors for stepping up, creating their own employment from their own capital, maintaining lives, and also providing for their families and society. And secondly, I would also make sure that I get into projects of public-private partnership to create better, humane, and decent workspaces for street vendors to work in so that they have sustainable livelihoods and also that we have beautification of cities, which takes into account the humans who work within the
city. Thank you very much, Ms. Ndlovu, and thanks so much to Ms. Komazana as well in Dubai there. Signing off from Washington, this is Steve Stewart saying, good night, Zimbabwe.